there's multiple options available for towns, villages, and cities, you know, throughout the state of New York. First one that we have on is really to do nothing, be silent on the issue. The town would automatically be opted into both dispensaries and, you know, on-site uses, be it a lounge, cafes, such like that. Second one would just pass a local law to opt out of both dispensaries and or, you know, on-site lounges and cafes. The third option would be for a local law opting out of dispensaries only. And the fourth option would be opting out, having a local law and opting out of on-site consumption. So those are, you know, those are the four options that are out there. So obviously if we do no actions taken, everything just transpires and town and council would be opted in on both of those options. I think it's also important to note this is a town of Catskill meeting, so what the town of Catskill board decides, it doesn't affect what happens in the village of Catskill. That's a totally different governing body, so that would, what they decide to do as a village trustees, that's what's going to affect the village. So this is just, I think, again, just to want to clarify that amongst everybody to be sure, you know, what we're talking about. So I think that's important. On the tax revenue side of it, I mean, there's a lot of issues that go on with cannabis as far as consumption, and everybody's got their own viewpoints on that as well. Tax revenue, as it stands now, or as I feel it stands now, it's 9% goes to the state of New York. That's up front. Local governments, 4%. County keeps 1% of that revenue, or they get 1%, which is actually 25% of the 4%. And then the remaining 75% or the 3% that's in there, that would be distributed between the towns, villages that actually have cannabis sales within their community. I don't know if we have to get into that as much, but if the town opted not to be into cannabis and the village happened to be in cannabis and they happened to put a site up on West Bridge Street or wherever, then the town would receive no revenue from those village sales. So that's an... Go ahead.
So, Dan Arshak.
Okay.
I happen to be an attorney, and I've been... I'm not involved in the cannabis business, but I've been certainly watching the legislation very carefully. And I was nodding my head because everything you said was right, but I'm confused by the last thing that you said, that the town would not participate if the village opted in. And the reason for that is, but maybe you have some authority there.
Well, there's a couple different scenarios that they have. This is through the associations of towns, which is kind of, it's not the Bible, but it's a good source of revenue. So the town opts out, but the village within the town has sales. Town does not get revenue.
So I'm sure you're reading that accurately. Right.
And it might be wrong, but that's what they published.
I don't think it's a matter of wrong. I think it's a matter of not fully established yet.
Correct. And I think right. That's somewhat of a problematic thing, too, because I believe this is going to be under the SLA or an arm of the SLA.
Exactly right.
And they talk a lot about, but there's a lot of things that aren't really resolved yet with the camp. And
one of the reasons why the town perhaps ought to participate, even if it opts out and the village opts in, is that if people are driving on town roads, or they're using town services, and there's, you know, all sorts of, if there's town facilities that are impacted by someone coming to buy marijuana in the village, then perhaps the town ought to participate in that tax revenue.
Right.
So I think, I'm sure that what you read is right. But I think it's not written in stone yet.
That's the problem, and I think that's really an overall consideration or concern,
right.
Because we're making decisions or trying to make decisions today, and we don't really know what the rules really look like that are, they're not finalized. So that's a problem. Go ahead, Aaron.
Aaron Claus. Are you talking about the excise tax specifically on marijuana and not the sales tax?
Just marijuana
tax.
Right. Everything I talk about, or I believe I'm going to talk about tonight, is strictly related to cannabis. Yeah, not any other sales tax.
Because we don't get any of that.
That doesn't really help us a lot, and that's a totally different topic, and it would just really... It would bog us down, and I'll be honest with you, I probably shouldn't have got into the tax aspect of the role, but I just wanted to keep every... I wanted to get as much information out.
What you've read is what I've heard, too.
Okay, good. And so, you know, that's just a consideration that we would have to, you know, take into consideration as a town. If the village had these sales and then we sat on the sidelines, we would get nothing. So, anyway, with that, I think we can open it up a little bit to the community. If anybody's got questions, or not questions, but more input on what your feelings are about the cannabis law, I'd start entertaining questions. Go ahead.
So I wasn't aware of what the four possible resolutions were. But the one that I had a question about as you read it was opting out of on-site use. And I'm just not sure what that means. I have an idea what it means.
Lounge.
It means like a smoke shop, a lounge, a cafe. I try to do research what goes on in Massachusetts. I believe originally, or for the most part, they've been dispensaries. And I think they're kind of starting to move over to a little bit of a cafe thing. So... I don't know if we can totally just take a snapshot and say this is what Massachusetts looks like, because they're still, you know, they're still growing into that business as well and expanding. So,
but when you're talking about on site, are you talking about on the site where marijuana is sold or purchased?
On site is a lounge. It's like going to a cigar shop, as Paul mentioned. Actually, we probably should introduce everybody. But Paul Vosburgh's a councilman. And we got Patrick McCullough with us, and Dale Finch, and Dwan Scannapico's on her way in, and Jared Giordano, I think he's somewhere on vacation, possibly in Florida.
But does on-site include smoking a joint in a drugstore as you're buying deodorant?
No. It's a specialized store for marijuana.
So they have to be selling marijuana in the site. In order, like a cigar store.
Yeah,
right. I refer back to like a cigar shop that might be up on Broadway in Saratoga. Go in there, they might have a variety for me to select from. And I mean, again, it's been the very beginning stages. I don't know if it's going to look like that in 2 or 5 years from now.
But that's my
interpretation.
The on-site opt out would be the connection between a place that sells and smoking at the same place.
I believe to be true.
Yeah, right. I believe you can sell and smoke in the same.
That's what the resolution addresses.
Dispensaries are separate from current bars.
I get it, but,
so,
that's,
but
that's,
the sale. In other words, the sale that you cannot walk in and get an ounce at a weed bar.
Right.
You can select for a flight of whatever, you know. But
right.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Can you state your name and address so we know who's
speaking? Hi, I'm Michelle. How I understood it, I deal with the liquor authority. I sell wine and beer, and let me tell you, nobody's getting a license for 2 to 3 years anyway to do this, even if they do pass it. They're so backlogged.
Right.
But just even with general licensing of wine and beer. But I think, like, it's kind of like the dispensary is like going to a liquor store, going to a cafe, a smoking cafe is like going to a bar and having a drink. Like you go for bulk at the dispensary and go to partake and socially partake in at these cafes.
Right, bring your own.
And if you want not bring your own, you better not bring your own
to
the smoke shop.
No, to the smoke.
Another way to look at it is it might be like the dispensaries, the beer world.
Yeah.
As, you know, right. That's where you buy your bulk beers, and they got all the selections that you possibly could think of. And then you go home, and you do what you do. And then, obviously, the on-site thing would be more like, yeah, you're going to go down to the local bar or what have you and have a cocktail.
And from what I've understood, what's happening right now with the passing of everything is, from a local brewery, the owner was telling me, that they can't have people using marijuana while they sell alcohol. The two can't be on the same site. Never the two shall meet.
And I don't know.
It's interesting.
Some of the studies that I think I don't know what other, you know, like in Colorado, Massachusetts, there seems to be a tendency as marijuana grows, there's less alcohol. You know, there's less beverage centers. not beverage, but the sales may drop in your beer worlds and at your you know local bars because you've got competition of another side product. Maybe, I don't know.
Dale?
That's a thought. Go ahead.
Hi, Neva Wartell. I just have a quick question.
Sure.
For the benefit of a bunch of people who came in since you introduced the whole subject, could you go over those four options again?
Sure. The easiest option from, and it happens in most places, is absolutely do be silent. The time expires. Then at that point, if you didn't make any local laws, you would be into both dispensaries and on-site use. So if nothing moves forward, come the first of the year, people would be able to cite both products or both type of establishments in the town. The other option would be to opt out of both of them, not have dispensaries and not have on-site usage or on-site locations like a lounge or a cafe. And the other one is just select either you want to opt out of dispensaries or you want to opt out of on-site consumption, meaning the lounge, cigar shop, things of that nature. So there's four different possibilities, or at least that's what I see it to be. So anybody who Dorian?
Dorian Davis. I live in Palinville, and I served as a town supervisor from 16 to 20, so below everyone. I'd like to take a look at this from an economic perspective, and I just want to share with everybody the last 10 years of the town of Catskill and what this may mean from an impact perspective, because the issue of it being a law, it's passed, it's here, cities and counties are going to do something with this at both the village and the town level. And if any of us have been to Massachusetts or Maine or Colorado, they have all established an environment for this. In 2008, we had cement operations in this community that contributed on the average of $55 million into our buckets in terms of assessed value and all of the things that we know. Now, we know the cement environment is not coming back. No one wants it back. But that number from 2008 until today, by the time you got to 2013 to 15, you had lost roughly half of it. And you continue to lose that. So if you look at $55 million in 2008, in 2014 they demolished the Holson plant, so you couldn't even assess its value as being anything that was even functional. So then you looked at $24.5 million. And now you look at other revenues that followed suit. You had Irene, you had recession, so that you were at a point where you did recover. You started to recover a little bit in 2018, but between 2015, when we got to 16, we almost didn't make payroll in this community because of the lack of revenue. So we've got a bit of a rebound, but if you look at our revenues between 2008 and 2021, you're still down $8 million. From where you were in 2008. That's with all the real estate boom and all the new people that are here and all the good things that are happening. So we still have a dearth of light industry by which taxes are taxed. This is a legalized industry where if you look at Great Barrington, and there's all sorts of debate about Massachusetts is going to lose all the people that are driving from New York and all that kind of stuff that could happen. Excuse me here. But at the end of the day, they are sitting last year and they're looking at $3 million and having public meetings about what to do with $3 million. So even if it's $1 million and you do the math that Dale shared with us and it's 3%, do the math. It's still money that we currently do not have. And the only thing that one other issue that I will post is, well, we could opt out, and the one thing that Dale didn't mention is you could opt out, and then you can opt back in. And you could say, you know what, I don't want to take any risk, I'm going to sit, I'm going to watch, I'm going to see how this goes. Possible, but there is no risk. Everybody around us is doing the same thing. We'll learn at the same time, and if anybody's had any relationship with the state of New York, in terms of regulation, this thing will be regulated within an inch of its life. And I agree with Michelle. If we get a license out of that place, even though they're going to have their own board, they won't be the same as SLA, thank God. But they will take a significant amount of time to figure out how this will work. If we wait and we decide to come back in, if we had a retail audience here, which we do, we'll have people locally that live here that will go in, will purchase and come back. But let's face it, our opportunity is going to be with our tourists and our Airbnbs. And they, those people, those of us that travel back and forth, which Cran and I did for a significant amount of time, you establish patterns. And if we're not in this at the beginning, then you're going to stop in Saugerties and you're going to say, gosh, you know, I'm not going to go up there because I think I can get my wine and my gummies. And you know what? I'll probably have dinner here too. And then I'm going to drive straight to the B&B. So think about the patterns that we're going to allow to develop around this. We are in what we used to call in the pharma industry a first-in-class opportunity. This is coming to New York for the first time. You have an opportunity to get on this wagon, to go out, go visit Barrington. Go talk to the town supervisor. Drive to Maine if you'd like. It's lovely in Maine. The stores are on the waterfront. There's a couple of places that I've seen out in Colorado and Telluride that are ridiculous in terms of boutique-like environments. So I was hopeful that potentially we were going to have some revenue opportunity in places like Exit 21 with some of the light industry that we have potential for. But then we had the pandemic. And everything slowed down. And now it's been reported that we're going to do a community health center potentially at Exit 21. And that is not going to bring any revenue to this community. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I'm going to ask in closing is whatever decides to come into Catskill, ask the second and third and fourth questions. Because when we talked about healthcare several years ago, we were talking about taxable entities that were coming, not a tax-free community health center on probably the crown jewel of retail opportunity in the town of Catskill. Mm. So I'm going to close with saying I am strongly in support of this. Sooner the better. Put together a group of people that are willing to help. Put a committee together and figure out the details. And if you don't want it in a certain spot, you can zone it out. Thanks.
Anybody else want to have a say?
Sandra Cantu. I have a house here. Sorry, I kind of have anxiety about speaking.
We're friendly here, living in California,
so I can tell you how this all goes. I just came from a job I absolutely loved. I worked it 2.5 years working in the cannabis industry, one of the largest ones. Okay? We have taco trucks right outside the door. You know why? Because everybody's hungry. Even if you're not sleeping right there, they're grabbing that to take it home. So when you're done, and I don't really even do it that much, but I'm kind of disappointed because once in a while I want a chocolate candy bar to go fall asleep. I got to drive to Massachusetts. I should have brought more with me because I'm disappointed. To be honest with you, you guys are really losing out. It's sooner or later, it's going to come. Whether you're not providing it, they're going to grow it themselves. They're going to get it themselves. My opinion is you guys got a bad heroin problem out here. That's pretty sad.
Absolutely.
Why not push it off onto something else? Because, you know, you usually trade one thing to another. Why not just let them be stoners? Just from what I see. Out there, we had a lot of meth addicts. Seems like they...
What community are we talking in? San Francisco?
San Francisco, San Jose, the Bay Area. And it's pretty gnarly out there. And you know who's survived this whole pandemic? Cannabis. They're going strong compared to everybody else. Kind of can't wait to go back because I miss my job. That I had health benefits, 401k, you name it. That's pretty good. All the restaurants nearby, everybody wants to be by that shop. Why? Because when they're pulling out with their goodies, we're going to stop and grab something on our way. I think, personally, from what I've seen and I experienced out there, it would do a lot for this place. Because there's not a lot to offer out here. Plus, keeping restaurants open, yes, too. I've never seen no such thing. But I don't know, I was kind of excited when I saw that maybe they were finally putting it in down here. But I already drove all the way to Massachusetts. Why should I have to do that? it's legal here, so why should I have to do that? You know, it's kind of silly because everybody's like, oh, let's wait and see what everybody else does. That's just my opinion. Sorry.
Oh, no, you did good. Everybody's opinion and insight and, like I said, viewpoints are welcomed
and it brings work.
I personally feel, to be honest, on the dispensary side, because that's where the bigger investments are going to be. If you're late to that game, you're never going to catch up.
Yeah, because if you walk out, you wait.
They're going to cite another. They might go to Hudson.
Everybody else has got their own personal club, and it's like whatever. You know, you're just a little town. I'll keep driving to the next one where they got the bigger shops because they're all, you know.
And we're convenient off exit 21. I mean, so it's you know, people that are coming up from Long Island and they might be going to Lake George or further communities. Sometimes I envision it's like, you know, years ago I went down south as a younger kid. You see the fireworks signs, right? You drive in, you get
south
your fireworks
south right
to the border, boom, bang. You grab whatever you want, you throw it in the trunk, and then you go home. So it's kind of similar to that. So and
then they've done that too.
And lady in the back.
Most of us are coming at this as a recreational use, but the dispensary started as medical. So we'll have